So today I wanted to speak to you from Psalm 40. One of the reasons I wanted to speak from Psalm 40 is that we have a theme at Hartford City Church for this year. And it's called Sing a New Song to the Lord. And when I think of Psalm 40, I always think of the U2 song that we sang this morning, that I waited patiently for the Lord. And then there's that kind of haunting refrain, I will sing a new song. But then there's a question too, how long? How long? How long? So I want to begin by reading for you from Psalm 40 this morning. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 40 in your Bibles, or if you'd like to follow along in English or Spanish on the screen behind me, you can. But let's hear Psalm 40 together as we begin, and then we'll look into it a little bit more. This is from King David, a psalm that he wrote, coming out of his heart. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and who does not look to the proud or turn aside to false gods, or it could be translated, turn aside to lies. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you've planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings, sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in your scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness, of your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May all who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. We should say that together. The Lord is great. If you desire God's saving help this morning, say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Amen. So as I'm thinking about this morning, and I'm thinking about the U2 song, How Long, and when we're thinking about crying out to God and looking for salvation, How Long always brings to my mind one of my favorite speeches by Martin Luther King Jr., where at the end of the speech, when he's speaking about what's going on in Alabama at that time, he says, how long, how long? And it kind of becomes this refrain, this cry. So rather than me try to read those words, I found the clip of my favorite part, and we're just going to listen to his words this morning as we begin.
Precious, we'll rise again. How long, Lord?
And this morning we need to talk about truth. We need to speak the truth this morning. We need to speak the truth about what is going on in our country, what is going on in our world. We need to speak the truth about what is going on in our hearts. And we need to speak the truth about God. We need to know what God says and what God does. And that's the truth that we gather around. And it's so important. And I think that Psalm 40 is truth this morning because I believe we are in a time where we desperately need a new song, where we desperately need the help of God Almighty for the situation that we find ourselves in. We so desperately need the truth right now. And as the poem that Martin Luther King Jr. quoted, I feel like we feel like that so many times today. He said, truth is on the scaffold. That's the platform where if you're sentenced to die by hanging, they would put the noose around your neck and hang you. And it seems like truth is on the scaffold, like truth is crucified, like truth is about to die, right? And wrong forever on the throne. How many times do we feel like wrong is having the day, wrong is ruling, and the things that are right are not being done? But he reminds us, but it's the scaffold, it's truth that holds the future. And behind it stands God, even though it may seem in the shadows, keeping watch over his own. And God is above and behind and in and through it all. And we need to hear the truth this morning. We need to hear the truth. We need to live in the truth. And I love the first line of this psalm, written by King David, written by someone who knew about tragedy, who went through a lot of different things in his life, who had really great exhilarating moments and really dark, deep, evil moments in his life. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. So I want to speak for just a few minutes on what it means to wait patiently upon the Lord. Because I think it's easy to misunderstand that, but I think it has something deep to speak to us this morning. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. The first thing I want to say is that waiting on the Lord is not silent. Waiting on the Lord is not being silent and not saying anything, because how else will God hear our cry if we do not cry out? It says that he speaks. It says that he cries out. In fact, he takes what's in his heart, yes, but he puts it down. And it actually becomes a song that the people of God sing. So it's not only his prayer, but it becomes the prayer of his people. It becomes the prayer of God's people. The crying out to God needs to come out. Waiting on the Lord is not being silent. That's why I read the whole long psalm. It's not like David said, I'll wait patiently for the Lord. No, that doesn't happen. He begins to explain. And what does he say? He describes the situation that he is in. And I think waiting on the Lord means that we cry out. It's not silent. And we do three things. We describe the situation that we're in. We call for justice. And we direct our cries to God, knowing that God alone can save, and in him is our only hope. So what's the first part? You see in Psalm 40 how he takes time to describe what the situation is around him. This is part of his waiting on the Lord. He said, troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me. I cannot see. My heart fails within me. I am poor. I am needy. There are those who want to take my life, God. He describes the situation as it is that he is living in. And then he calls for justice against those who would oppress others. He said, may those who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May they be turned back in disgrace. But may those who seek you rejoice and be glad. Amen. He calls for justice, for God's justice to come. And then finally, we see at the end, he says, as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Oh, do not delay. He cries out to God for his salvation and for his help and for deliverance that he needs from those who would seek to take his life, from those who would oppress him. And I believe, obviously, to everyone, you know, that is on social media or connected somehow, we're living in times where there's a lot of people who feel very desperate and very needy, where there are people who are crying out for help. And it's important that we cry out for help. It's important that we do that. We need to listen to what other people are saying. It's important. And sometimes we need to stand together with them, because what's happening right now does not please God. And that needs to be said. What's happening right now to people of color in communities all across this country is wrong, and it's offensive to God. And we need to stand and cry out for justice on behalf of the oppressed. We need to cry out for justice for ourselves. We need to cry out for God's righteousness to be on the throne. So that we know, we need to understand that we need to cry out to God to say, this is what's going on, God. And yet also say, God, we need justice. We ask that you would bring your justice. And we need to do that. But we need to understand that we are fighting a battle, and that our enemy is Satan, and that Satan's tools and weapons are hatred and racism and violence and murder and lies and deception. And that's why the truth is so important. That's why the truth is found in God's truth for our lives. So therefore, we need to cry out to God. And that's what we can do. Sometimes I get personally frustrated. Frustrated is maybe not the right word. I don't even know the feeling, but I feel helpless. I feel like I don't know what to do. You know, I feel the anguish. I feel the sadness. You know, I know, trying to understand who I am and what my role is. And I've come to believe that my calling is to be a pastor, which is to proclaim the word of God and to be with those who are hurting. Not necessarily to give answers, but to be present, to be a ministry of presence and just be. And so for me, Hartford City Church, this is a place we can come together. Whether we're celebrating or we're hurting, but when we come together, we can stand with each other, right? Where we can be with each other, we can listen to each other, we can understand each other, maybe a little more with God's help. And I think it's important that we say we need to cry out to God together. Because I'm saying it is okay that we are crying out. And we are crying out all over the place on Facebook. People are crying out on YouTube, on social media, on the television, on the radio, in the papers, in the columns, in the blogs, even in the streets. People are crying out, we're poor, we're needy, we're oppressed, and we need justice. And all of that is very, very good. But my question as a pastor is this: who are you crying out to? Who are you crying out to? For King David knew that the person he needed to cry out to was God, and God alone. That doesn't mean that King David sat back and did nothing. King David was one of the best kings that Israel ever had. He was a politician who was extremely successful. And don't tell me that David did not have political plans and solutions to the problem he was facing. Not only that, King David was one of the greatest warriors that ever lived on the face of this earth. As a general, his record is probably unmatched in the amount of military victories that he obtained. Don't tell me that when David is talking about his enemies, that he was just sitting back, twiddling his thumbs, waiting for God to show up. He had a military plan. He had political plans. King David was also, they say, very handsome, very charming, very witty. You know that David knew the kind of person he was, that he could use those things to gain what he wanted to gain for his people and for God. He had plans. He had work. He did not sit down and wait, but he knew beyond everything else that God was his only hope for salvation, his only deliverer. There are many plans. There are many plans, both good and bad. There are many strategies, both good and bad. But God is above them all. Above them all. God rules over everything. And we need to trust in God. We need to put our hope in God. And that's the second thing. So waiting on the Lord is not silent. It's about crying out to God about our situation and asking God for justice. But waiting, it's interesting, there's another word that takes us deeper into this concept. And it's interesting that in Spanish, the same word for wait, esperanza, is the same word for hope. The name of the church we minister with is Esperanza Viva, living hope. And we've talked here about how Jesus Christ is our living hope, that we have a hope like no other. So you could also say that what David is saying is, I waited patiently for the Lord. I put my hope in the Lord. I put my trust in the Lord. And the Bible teaches us time and time again that our only hope is in Jesus Christ, and that our trust and our deliverance and our salvation should be put into the Lord, that we understand who God is and what he's going to do. I'd like to take you to another passage of scripture, if I may. And this is in Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to begin with verse 27. And the prophet Isaiah says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by God?" Some of us have been saying that, right? God, do you hear what's going on? Yes. Lord, my way, my people, my family, my community, my beliefs, my values are being disregarded by others. And I think everybody says that, no matter which side of the circle you're on. We feel that way. But listen to the word of God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, right? See, it's translated both ways. Some translations say those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. This is those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It shows you that those two words are together, that waiting is hoping on the Lord, that those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We put our hope in God. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. We put our hope in Him. Hope is being confident in God. Confident in God because God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. And you know why God is faithful? Because God is the everlasting God. That means God is going to outlast everything in all of creation. Amen? Because God has created everything in all of creation. God will outlast any situation that we are in. God will outlast any country that's ever existed. God will outlast any problem, right? Just like Martin Luther King Jr. said, no lie can live forever. In Central America, they have a saying, no disease will last over 100 years. Because there's this idea that nothing is going to last forever but the everlasting God. That God is almighty, that God is the everlasting one, and He is faithful because He will increase the power of the weak. He will give strength to the weary. God is faithful because His steadfast love never fails. His mercies never cease. They are new every morning. God is faithful because He will hear our cry. He will lift us up out of the pit. He will give us a firm place to stand. God will put a new song of praise in our mouths, that as we praise the Lord, God is faithful. He will draw women and men unto Himself. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
Does anybody believe that this morning? Where is your hope and your confidence? Your hope and confidence should be in God. You put your trust in God because you know why? God says, my word will never fail. I am faithful. My word will accomplish everything I said. So if God says, I will give strength to the weary, I will increase the power of the weak, then I know that God will do that. I know that God is drawn to those who are poor and needy and weak and oppressed and bound by something. And He's drawn to set them free, to give them knowledge of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of their sins, and new life in Him. And we know God doesn't force people to do that. You know, hopefully you hear me clearly. God doesn't force anyone to do it, doesn't guarantee that everyone will respond. But my confidence is knowing that God is the everlasting God and that He is faithful to His word. Let me take you to another scripture this morning in Isaiah as well. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 12. See, here's the thing. We need to understand, we need to grow in our knowledge. But so many people, they really think that they do know everything. But I'm reminded that the Lord says in Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 8, that my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. There are some things that I am above you. I have a greater understanding than you do. That's why we need to seek the Lord when we want to seek understanding. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But listen to this. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower, bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish the purpose for and I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into songs before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The Lord's word will accomplish His desire and achieve His purpose. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's enough for us, maybe even this morning, that God's word will achieve God's desire. And it will achieve his purpose.
God's word doesn't come back empty.
Amen.
These are not empty words. And I say this because we need faith to believe this. I know it's hard to believe. I know people are saying there's just empty words. My words may be empty, but God's word is not. God's word will not return to him empty. God's word will accomplish what he desires. And he says, I will give strength to the weary. I will increase the power of the weak. When you cry out to me, I will hear your cry. And I will lift you up out of the pit. And I will give you a firm place to stand. And I will put a new song in your mouth. And did you notice the kind of song that's being sung? He says, you'll go out in joy and be led forth in peace. And we're like, oh, the man, how can we have joy and peace during these dark and terrible times? And they are. But I noticed the joy and peace are kind of the markers. They're the insignias. They're the house colors, if you will. They're the team logo of what God's people should be about. And it's always been my prayer that we as this community, Hartford City Church, would be known for joy and peace. Even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, hear me clearly. Joy is not just going around with a grin on your face, acting like everything's going to be all right. Joy rather is confidence in God. Joy doesn't come from the outside. Joy comes from the inside. Because inside, when you put your confidence and your trust in God, then God tells you, I am the everlasting God. It is going to be all right when I say everything will be all right. My righteousness will be accomplished. My truth will win out. My purposes will prevail. And those who are poor and needy and crying out to me, they will receive my help and my strength. And my deliverance. When I'm confident in that, that joy is inside of me. And joy is like a candle that shines in the darkness. Even though it just flickers and it doesn't seem very strong, it's stubborn. It still shines. It says, yes, yes, I'm tired, I'm weary. Listen to the honesty of King David when he wrote, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm worn out, I feel like I'm about to die. But I will put my hope and my trust and my confidence in God.
Yes.
Because I know God. I know what he said. I know what he's done. I know what he's going to do. And so that's why we so desperately need a new song of joy. Not a song that's ignorant, not a song that's naive, not a song that glosses over our pain and our suffering. But remember the prophet Khalil Gibran? He said, joy is our sorrow unmasked. The joy always flows out of sorrow. There is a connection between joy and sorrow and tragedy that goes back to the beginning of time. The artists, the poets have always known about it. They've always seen that there's a connection. The greatest comedians that you will talk to will tell you that their comedy comes out of their deepest pain, out of a place of suffering in their lives. And we know this to be true, that our greatest joy in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came because he suffered, because he died, because he was oppressed and beaten. But he always knew that he was God. And his confidence in God gave him the joy that he would rise again from the dead. And we can have that same joy this morning. And the joy I'm talking about is a confidence in God, in our heart. That's where joy comes from. And peace. We need to be people of peace. We need to speak peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And Jesus knew that it would be hard. And we know that it's hard. But we shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. That's the word of God. That doesn't return to him empty. That doesn't return to him void. And if my God says that I, when I put my confidence in him, that I need to walk out in joy and peace, then I'm going to walk out in joy and peace, even though I don't fully understand it. Because my confidence is in God. My hope is in God. My trust is in God. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. It's to put our hope and our confidence and our trust in God so that we might be people that are marked, that the signs of our fellowship together is joy and peace. Not from ourselves, not from any other place in this world or any other thing, but simply that I walk with Jesus Christ. And because I walk with Jesus Christ and am confident in him, it gives me this inner joy, this inner peace that I'm praying will continue to grow until more and more people can experience that as well.
There's a story from the New Testament that I want to conclude with this morning. This story, I believe, kind of brings a lot of these themes and what I'm trying to talk about together this morning in a very powerful way. A story that was shared with us by Pastor Roberto this week. A story as he encouraged us about our ministry in Tijuana, about our ministry together. He said this, he said, "We always do ministry in the midst of difficulties." We always do ministry in the midst of difficulties and suffering. So therefore, everything I'm saying has to be somehow lived out and incarnated in the midst of suffering, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of difficulties. That's where we minister. And the story he pointed us to is found in Acts chapter 8. You can turn there if you would, please. It'll be on the screen. Well, Acts chapter 8. And this occurs right after Stephen, one of the followers of Christ, is killed for his faith. He's killed for his faith. He's stoned. He becomes the first martyr, the first person to die for the Christian faith. Okay, and the story picks up right there in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "And Saul," the man who was later to become Paul, but at this point he's Saul, "Saul approved of the killing of him. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him." There's tragedy. Death. You know, I'm reminded that whenever we stand up for the truth, we will be persecuted. We will be attacked. I think of the young lady, Heather Heyer, in Charlottesville, who stood up for the truth against hatred, against white supremacy, against racism, and she died. She lost her life. Stephen stood up for the truth. What he believed in Jesus Christ. Even as he was dying, he said, "Father, forgive them." Isn't that amazing? He said, "Father, forgive them." And he turned his eyes towards heaven. And he gave his life for what he believed in. And then a persecution broke out. And many other people were being killed and persecuted. And the tragedy got even worse at this point in time. It says, "Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged both the men and the women, and he put them in prison." Can you imagine being dragged out of your house, put into prison because you believe in Jesus Christ, because you stand up for the truth? Those who had been scattered preached the word of God wherever they went. That's what's amazing. They preached the word of God wherever they went. So we get a little snapshot of that. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, and they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And so there was great joy in that city. The ministry of the word of God and the healing and the deliverance of the Holy Spirit, it brings joy to the cities where it is proclaimed. I hope you'll join with me in praying that we would be a part of bringing joy to the city of Hartford, that we would bring joy to our communities, that we would bring joy because of, not ourselves, not our circumstances, but when we preach the word of God, when we pray for deliverance, when people's lives are changed and transformed by the power of God, that there might be a release of joy and peace in the city. And we must do it in the midst of difficult circumstances, because we're often, if not always, called to do that. And right now is such a moment. Right now is such a moment where it is very difficult in our country. Racism is reared its ugly head in a mighty way, and we must speak against it. We must speak against it. We must do the work of listening and learning from others. But we need to do it with a new song. We can't sing the same old songs, because, friends, we've been singing these songs for a long time. You know, Martin Luther King was before I was born. So I thought that was all history. I thought it was all in the past. But I listen to his words and I think, man, he could have preached that last Sunday in America. And I'm saying, like we sang in the song, how long, God? How long will we sing this song? How long will we wait for a new song to be put in our mouths? But I believe God is speaking to us. Have you not heard? Do you not know? The Lord is an everlasting God. He is the creator of all things. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch over his own. And no lie, even the lie of white supremacy and racism, can live forever. Amen. truth, even that is pressed to the earth, will rise in him. And God is speaking his truth. I will increase the power of you. I will give strength to the weary. My word will not return to me empty. It will accomplish my purpose. And when you preach my word, you will go out in joy and be led forth with peace. And even though they may kill you for standing up for the truth, even though they may persecute you, even though they may come against you, even though we are being oppressed, and some of us more than others, even though we are poor and we are needy, we stand confident in God, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the power of the Holy Spirit that he promised he would send out to us. Oh, that's why I love that song we sang in Spanish this morning. Come, won't you come like you promised, and pour out your spirit. Fill us with your glory, Lord God. Would you pour out your spirit? Because the Lord said, and at the end, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Amen. And I am so grateful. Let me say this clearly. I am so grateful for our sons and our daughters who are standing up and prophesying at this moment in this time, who are speaking the truth, who are not afraid to speak the truth. And I call it on us as people of God that when we add our voice to the situation, that we realize that we cry out to God, that God is our only hope. King David said it like this. He had another psalm where he said, some people trust in horses and some in chariots, but as for us, we're going to trust in the Lord our God. And again, one of the mightiest military men this world has ever known, he knew a lot about horses and chariots, and he probably had some of the best horses and chariots. And if anybody was going to put their trust in horses and chariots, it would have been King David. But he says, nah, some people put their trust in all of that. And that didn't mean David didn't use it. He still went out in a horse and chariot, believe me. And David didn't go out walking even though he put his trust in God. He still used the horse and the chariot, okay? Hear me clearly. I'm not saying sit back and do nothing. Keep doing what you're doing, but put your trust in God, amen? Put your confidence in God, right? Ask God to be with you while you're doing what you're doing. Ask God to reveal to you the truth that you're speaking what you need to speak. And for many others who have no hope, they have nowhere to cry out. That's why the cry is so painful. People are crying out. People are getting angry. People are getting upset and they're crying out. But they need to know from us that you can cry out to God. Amen. That there is salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. There is hope like no other in Jesus Christ. Right? You can put your hope in all kinds of things and go ahead and do it. But in your heart first, put your hope and your trust and your confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know. That's the only reason I'm here to invite you to do that. Because I am so confident in God that if you put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, today, maybe even for the first time, I am so confident in God that he will give you wisdom. Understanding. I believe that God will guide you along what he's called you to do. Do you understand that? God is... I'm sorry, I was in Mexico. We were Pentecostal for a week. God, do you understand that God is saying that what I've called you to do, I'm going to do? You need to hear that, right? I feel it in my spirit that some people need to hear that. God has called you to something and he says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the wisdom. Don't be afraid.
Right.
None of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. Some of you, God is saying, listen, you've been posting on Facebook. I want you to keep posting. But I want you to put your trust in me. I'm going to start to speak to you truth that needs to be spoken into that realm. I hope somebody hears that this morning. I'm not really good with all that social media stuff. I hope that somebody hears that God's preparing you to speak truth, to sing a new song in that arena, right? Right? God is speaking this morning. God is speaking this morning. I want to invite you to pray with me if you will. I'd like the worship team to come up, begin to pray as well.